This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's always an immense display of favor and rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He really lavishes the Muslim ummah with these opportunities. I think many a times when we speak about the virtues of seasons, whether it's the last 10 nights of Ramadan or the season we're in now, or Muharram or whatever it may be, the focus is usually on the aspect of the multiplication of reward, how this is an opportunity to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to earn Jannah. And that's a phenomenal dimension to focus on. But there is a deeper meaning that needs to be focused on here, which is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the ummah. When somebody treats you in this way at a human level, say your spouse, you know, say in the case here, your wife, who is always looking to earn your pleasure by way of what she puts on the table for you, how she presents herself when you come back from work, the words that she chooses when speaking with you, and the honoring of your parents. You see that there is a deeper meaning here, that she is trying to draw nearer to you. She wants to be your friend. She's looking for your happiness and your contentment. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, to Allah belongs the greatest example, when He is offering us these examples, these seasons that are back to back, the deeper meaning here is not just the multiplication of reward. That's definitely part of it, as we know through the hadith. But this is a Lord who is wadud, meaning He is drawing nearer to His servants by way of these opportunities because of love. So, when you see how we are constantly moving from season to season, opportunity to opportunity, you have to think, Ya Allah, how great is a Lord who is trying to draw nearer to me. The least I can do is return the favor. So you finish your salah and your heart is still yearning for a greater connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opportunity is there for the sunan, for the night prayer. You have the calm and the solitude of qiyam for you to add to that opportunity. Allah gives you yet another opportunity to draw nearer to Him. You worry that your life span as a member of the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is shorter than the nations before you. 70, 80, 60, 70 is the average age span of the Muslims or the human beings during this era. So Allah gives you Laylatul Qadr to give you those opportunities to catch up with those who came before you. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, it is greater than 1,000 nights. So you're not disadvantaged. Allah is constantly opening up these opportunities. You finish the month of Ramadan, instantly you're greeted with Shawwal to continue for those who wish to do so. And then Shawwal finishes and we've barely had any time to settle, and then subhanAllah, Dhul Hijjah comes along. Another opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to draw nearer to Him. So the subtle message here is, yes, these are opportunities to earn hasanat, good deeds. But look at the deeper message here. Above you is a Lord who truly loves you and wants to make it easy for you to enter Jannah and to glorify Him. And I think at a time when the Muslims are experiencing so much across the world by way of the genocide that is happening in Gaza or other parts of the Muslim world, our hemorrhage is severe globally. It is important to focus on this message. When we are sharing with our students, with our children, with our congregations, the virtues of these periods, to not remove from them this meaning of love and divine favor that Allah has for us. Because when you're constantly exposed to the sight of bloodshed and killing, it's very easy to think that the divine hand of Allah Almighty has been lifted from us. Maybe Allah Almighty despises us. But that's never been the true measure of love or hate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards His allies. Is it skyscrapers and safety and well-being, technological progress? We're not against these things. We are the bastions of these things. But is that the measure? The measure is where you are from the correct core truths pertaining to Allah Almighty and pertaining to what it makes you a human being. And when you look left, right and center, no one is raising their voices with the statement of truth, the statement of Tawheed, other than the Muslims. We are the ones who know the way, and we live by the way, and we show the way. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the greatest nations ever pushed forward for humanity. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith which Ibn Majah narrates on the authority of Muawiyah al-Khushayri, Antum mufuna sab'ina ummah. Antum khayruha wa akramuha ala Allah. You are the last of 70 nations, but you are the greatest and the finest of them, the most honorable of them in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are with this short introduction, another opportunity of hasanat, another opportunity to draw near to Allah Almighty has opened up. And this is, of course, the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So these first 10 days are, as we said, situated within a month called Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah, as you know, is the last month of the Islamic calendar, and it's one of the four months that Allah Almighty has titled as. How did Allah title them in the Quran? Sacred. Hurum. Yeah? Yeah? Minha arba'atun hurum. From the 12 are four that are hurum, which is plural four. Plural for haram, something that is sacred, something that is venerated. What are these 4 months? Muharram, month number one.
You want to go in order?
Rajab, yeah, month 7. And then Dhul Qa'da, month 11. And then Dhul Hijjah, month number 12. So look at how the beginning of the Islamic year begins with a month that is haram, where the hasanat are multiplied. And the year is concluded with Dhul-Hijjah, where the hasanat are multiplied. So you begin your Islamic year and you end your Islamic year with these opportunities. And between them, there are also other opportunities, including the month of Ramadan, as you said, Hamza. And these 10 days, they have a very special rank in the eyes of Allah. So in you, in my eyes and yours, this is a June of 2025. It feels like any other month of the year. But just because you see it like that, we see it like that, it doesn't mean that is representative of reality. No, we've entered a very special period in the in human history and in the human experience. So great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these 10 days in the Quran. Where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention these 10 days in the Quran? Surah Al-Fajr. Yes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Wal-Fajr, he takes an oath by the dawn. Then a second oath, Wal-Layalin, Ashir, and I swear, or by the 10 nights. What are these 10 nights in reference to? The, say it. Huh? Yeah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, right? So Allah takes an oath upon them. And Allah is وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful in speech than Allah? So Allah does not need to take oaths. So when He does take an oath, that's to captivate us. That's to draw our attention to the magnificence of what is being spoken about. I swear by the 10 nights, in reference to these days that we're in now, halfway through the first 10 days, and of course the nights of Dhul-Hijjah. And then the ayah after it says what? وَالْفَجْرِ وَالْأَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. How do you translate وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ? And by the even and by the odd. الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. So Allah takes another two oaths. And I swear by the even and I swear by the odd. Anything that is even and odd can be included in this oath. But the scholars have mentioned as an example of what is captured in the meaning of this ayah, as was mentioned by Ibn Kathir, that Ibn Abbas, he said, Ash-Shafi is in reference to Yawmun Nahr, which is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. It's an even number. Wal-Watr, and I swear by the odd, that's in reference to which day? Ya Shabab. The day of Arafah, the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath generally by these 10 days, and specifically 2 days within them, the 10th and the 9th. So again, that is to draw your attention to the enormity of what is being discussed here, and then to translate that theory into action. And of course, the scholars, before we cover a few other ayat, there's this fascinating classical discussion between what is superior, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah or the 10 nights of Ramadan. Have you heard of this debate before? Have you come across this debate? Do you know one opinion over another?
Then one of the opinions is that the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are more beloved of Allah, but the last 10 nights of Ramadan are more beloved.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so one of the answers, as was mentioned by many of the muhaqqiqun, that the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are superior than the days of the last days of Ramadan, whereas the nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan are superior than the nights of the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. Why? Because in Laylatul Qadr is found within the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and that's the greatest night of the year. But Yawm Arafah, the day of Arafah, is found in the 10 days of the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah, and according to the majority of scholars, not all, that is the greatest day of the year. And by the way, it should be mentioned here that even if some was to argue that the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10, are superior to the last 10 nights of Ramadan in their days and their nights, you wouldn't be far off. Because Allah took an oath by the nights of Dhul Hijjah, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Is that what he said? He said, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and by the nights of the days of Dhul Hijjah, or by the nights of the 10. Any other places in the Quran where the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are referenced? We actually covered it when we were going through Surah Al-Buruj, but we didn't specify it. In the first couple of ayat, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, when Allah says, I swear by the heavens of the towering stars, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and by the promised day. What was the promised day, Yusuf? The promised day was? يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and I swear by thee, the witnessing, وَمَشْهُودٍ, and the witnessed. We didn't give the tafsir of it back then. But in a hadith which the Imam Tirmidhi narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that يَوْمُ الْمَوْعُودِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said that the promised day is the day of judgment. And he said, والمشهود, the witnessed day, that's the day of Arafah. And the witnessing day, that's the day of Jumu'ah. Yeah, that's Friday. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, by the witnessed and the witnessed, or the witnessing and the witnessed. So again, this is another Quranic reference to these days and specific days within them. Other references of the Quran to these days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, saying to Ibrahim, proclaim the Hajj to the people. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, they will come to you walking. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, and upon every lean camel. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ, they will come to you from every deep mountain valley. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that they may witness benefits for themselves. وَيَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and for them to remember Allah in known days. And for them to remember Allah in known days. What are the known days? Many of the scholars, they said, they are in reference to the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. For them to remember Allah in known days. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, speaking about Prophet Musa alayhi salam, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً, we made an appointment to Prophet Musa for 30 nights. وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ, and we completed it with another 10 days. فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً, so the appointment was complete for 40 nights. So the scholars, they say that the day in which Allah Almighty spoke to Prophet Musa alayhi salam was on the last of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah Almighty spoke to Prophet Musa alayhi salam on the last of the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. So this is a mighty season. And there is another key virtue about these days, something massive that happened on the day of Arafah. What was it, my brothers? Ah, Hamza.
Religion had been perfected.
Their religion was perfected. Yeah, that was on the day of Arafah. I'm going to ask you in a moment, what does it mean that their religion was perfected on the day of Arafah? So prepare yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Yeah, today I have completed for you your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي and perfected my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا and I'm satisfied that Islam is your religion. Bukhari narrates that Umar, he said, I know exactly when this ayah was revealed. And the place where it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ وَاقِفٌ بِعَرَفَةٍ. It was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was standing in Arafah. Yes, and that was a Friday as well. And that's one of the unique aspects of this Friday, that our Arafah will be on a Friday, as was the ayah that was revealed when the religion was completed on the day of Arafah, coinciding with a Friday. So it's phenomenal, actually, what's happening this Friday, inshallah. So what does it mean, by the way, when Allah Almighty says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, today I have completed your religion for you. An ayah which the Jews, by the way, recognized as being great. They said if we had a similar verse that was revealed to us, we would have taken it as a day of Eid. So what does it mean that today your religion was completed? On that day, the religion was completed. How do you understand this? Any thoughts, brothers?
Its core teachings and laws have all been fully delivered.
Yeah, that the core teachings of Islam with respect to laws, the commandments, the prohibitions, have been completed. Why do you use the word core, Hamza?
As in, no major, nothing, everything that is presented to you, that all the major stuff is presented for you. Nothing has been left out in terms of...
So let me push you back and I say, why did you not say, for example, all of the rulings of Islam were completed on that day?
Everything essential.
Ah.
Everything you need is there. Nothing external.
So after this verse, you're saying there were still verses that were revealed pertaining to Ahkam?
No.
So you can reword it and just say all of the rulings were complete on that day? No, stand your ground. Your first answer was right. Yeah? Yeah, phone a friend. Ishmael, can you help him?
I think it's really what's called religion.
Very good. Yeah, this is definitely the correct answer. But the reason why I was pushing you on the word core is because even after this ayah was revealed, there were still verses of Quran revealed. This wasn't the last ayah to be revealed. That's number one. Nor was it the last ayah on ahkam, the halal and haram. There were still verses of ahkam that came after it, like ayatul riba, the verses that prohibited riba, or that spoke of riba, amidst many other ayat that spoke of riba, of course. But there were still rulings that came after this ayah. The ayah of al-kalala, which is in reference to a person who dies and he has no direct heirs to inherit him. That came after this ayah. So Hamza is right, and Hashim, in that this was the time on Yom Arafah that Umar is speaking about, when the core rulings of the halal and haram were revealed. The majority, yeah, of the rulings of Islam were complete, and all of the rulings pertaining to Hajj as well, specifically. So Allah Almighty said, on this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you. Is that clear? Yeah, that's why we said the majority or the core rulings, because there were still rulings that came after it. Is that clear, brothers? Tayyib. The narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and what he has had to say about these days. What's the most famous hadith in this department? The hadith in the Sahih of Ibn Abbas, Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من أيام العمل صالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام. There are no days in the year where the doing of righteous deeds are dearer to Allah than doing them in these days, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And in one narration, which Ad-Darimi narrates, he adds, وَلَا أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْمَلُهُ. Nor can there be deeds that are more amplified in reward than those that are done in this day. So you have two aspects here. The first is, these are deeds that are the most beloved to Allah. Number two, these are the deeds that are heavier in quantity, in size, in value. And that all happens in these 10 days. La ilaha illallah. So the companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even jihad in the path of Allah. So the companions are trying to find a reference, right, to see, is it truly as great as you make it out to be? Is there something that can be greater than it? And in them trying to pull in from their memory something that is enormous, from the tarbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ, they learned that it was jihad. So they said, even better than jihad, O Messenger of Allah. So the companions, when wanting to ask the Prophet ﷺ about how great and significant these days are, they said, not even jihad, like, it's even better than jihad. He said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They're even superior than jihad in the path of Allah. And then he gave the exception. إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِمَالِهِ وَنَفْسِهِ فَلَمْ يَرْجِعَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Except a person who goes out fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying his life, carrying his wealth, and he comes back with nothing. No life and no wealth. That cannot be topped according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a very famous narration here. And of course, another narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. The greatest days of the year are the days of the 10, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا, I mean to say, the greatest days of life. This is the translation, yeah? أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا, the greatest days of life are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. What is it, by the way, that makes these days so special? What do you think? What makes these days different to any other day of the year?
Hajj.
But there's no Ramadan. Sah, Hajj is in them. But they're missing Ramadan, for example. What do you think? So Hajj, just before we get to your Ubaidah, Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ said to Amr ibn al-As. Now Amr ibn al-As, he came late, willing to embrace Islam. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, أُبْسُطْ يَمِينُكَ حَتَّى أُبَايِعُكَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Extend your right hand so that I can pledge allegiance to you and become a Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ extended his hand. Then Amr, he did this, he retracted. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "You've changed your mind?" He said to him, أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَشْتَرِطْ. I just want to set a condition before I become a Muslim. He said to him, what do you want to set as a condition? He said that Allah forgives all of my sins. I've been at war with you. So he said to him, what were the three statements? أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ وَأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. Did you not know, Amr, that becoming a Muslim erases all of your previous sins? And the migration erases all of your previous sins. And doing Hajj erases all of your previous sins. So yes, Abu Umar, as you said, the fact that Hajj is situated in these 10 days is enormous. But what else is it that makes these days so unique? Why are they the greatest days of life?
Isn't it because that in these 10 days your good deeds and bad deeds count as more?
Yes, they are definitely multiplied. They count as more. Excellent. But are they the only times in the year where the good deeds are counting as more? So what is it that makes these days unique? Give us something that's unique.
It's at the end of the Islamic calendar.
It's the end of the Islamic calendar, okay. But why is that inherently better than the beginning of the Islamic calendar?
Is it the element of sacrifice, qurbani?
Okay, so there is definitely an element of sacrifice, qurbani, okay. Okay. The struggle of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay. Yeah, yeah. These are all no doubt part of the answer. I'll share with you something that Imam Ibn Hajar, he says in his Fath al-Bari, and he says, وَالَّذِي يَظْهَرُ, that what seems to be the reason why these days are singled out in virtue is that أُمَّهَاتُ الْعِبَادَاتِ, the core aspects of worship, they are all concentrated within them. You're able to carry out all of the five pillars of Islam within these 10 days. Right? You'll be praying, and you'll be giving your sadaqah. Some people will give their zakat. You can if you want. Many of us will be fasting. And you can do your hajj. And of course, tawheed, the shahada, tawheed, this is all through and through. In Ramadan, how many of these can you do? All of these except hajj. So this is perhaps one of the reasons why Allah Almighty has favored these mighty days. What defines you as a Muslim and how you present Islam to others when giving them da'wah, you start with the five pillars, they're all found within these days for those who wish to achieve them. And therefore this lofty status. Tayyib, let us now, just before we begin to wrap up, let us spotlight the day of Arafah, which is the ninth day of the days of Dhul Hijjah, which according to the majority of the scholars is the greatest day of the year. This is a day of Allah's divine mercy descending upon the believers, a day of divine proximity where Allah descends in a manner that befits His majesty and glory and boasts and takes pride in the people of Arafah. The day of Arafah, as you know, is the grand finale of Hajj. So severe, so intense, so central that the Prophet ﷺ would say, Al-Hajj Arafah, Hajj is Arafah. That cannot be compensated if it is missed. All of Hajj is essentially a preparation to bring you to this day of Arafah on the land of Arafat. When you talk about the location, you call it Arafat. When you talk about the time, you talk about Arafah. And here, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a famous hadith that we are all looking forward to this Friday, inshallah ta'ala. He said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْطِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There isn't a day in the year that Allah Almighty emancipates people from hell, frees people from Jahannam, more than the day of Arafah. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو. And Allah Almighty draws near. La ilaha illallah. This is phenomenal, huh? We'll get to this in a moment. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو. And Allah Almighty draws near. ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. And Allah boasts and takes pride of the people of Arafah who've come to the angels. As Allah says to the angels, مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاء. What do these people want? What do these people want? Why have they come? That is to say that Allah is saying to the angels, they have only come searching for me, searching for my mercy, for my forgiveness, for nearness to myself. Subhanallah. So we know that in the latter part of every night, Allah Almighty descends in a manner that befits His majesty and glory, and He makes His mercy accessible, His forgiveness accessible, the answering of dua accessible. This is on a nightly basis. But we only know of one day in the year when this happens. So this is happening on a nightly basis. But when Allah descends in a day of the year, we
offer valid on standard browsers, US only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
Only know this to be of, in the day of Arafah. And this is from the rahmah of Allah and his the subtlety of our Lord upon us, in the sense that when somebody needs something from you, you will usually turn around and say, come over here. We'll fix it together. Come over. I'll give you a hand. Allah Almighty is almost saying to us, no, you stay where you are. I will come to you and I will answer your dua. It's a special day. In another hadith, though the chain of narration, there is a doubt in it. It's described as being mursal. But the meaning is correct, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated to have said, hadith which Malik narrates in his Muwatta. He said, "Ma ru'iya ash-shaytanu yawman huwa adhar wala asghar wala ahqar wala aghyad minhu min yawmi Arafah." There is no time, there is no day in the year where shaytan appears smaller, more downcast, more humiliated, and more infuriated than on the day of Arafah. He is very upset and angered, and humiliated and downcast. How come? The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِمَا يَرَى مِنْ تَنَزُّلِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَتَجَاوُزِ اللَّهِ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ الْعِظَامِ. And that is because shaitan sees the mercy of Allah descending upon the people on Arafah and Allah forgiving their mighty sins. إِلَّا مَا رَأَى مِنْ يَوْمِ بَدْرِ. He said, with the exception to what shaitan saw and felt on the day of Badr. The companions, they said, what did shaitan see, O Messenger of Allah, on the day of Badr? He said, he saw angel Jibreel organizing the angels. That was the only day where shaitan was more upset and more humiliated and angry. Other than that, the day of Arafah is a nail in the coffin of shaitan. And that's why, brothers, yani alhamdulillah, when we compare Arafah with Laylatul Qadr, there are some differences, one of which is that Laylatul Qadr is unknown in its exact timing, isn't it? There's one opinion that it moves between the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That's the greatest night of the year. The greatest day of the year, however, is fixed. There's no doubt about it. We know exactly what it is. So there is no excuse to fall short, to seek some time off from work, to tell our families, I'm going to be busy on most of the day of Arafah, or at least in the latter hours of the day of Arafah, from Asr till Maghrib. That is the grand finale. And this is the moment when Allah Almighty descends. Yes, in the latter hours of the day of Arafah. So start to make preparations from it now. And the Salaf, they would engage in what was called ta'rif. Ta'rif, meaning dedicating time in the masjid in a form of i'tikaf during those latter hours of the day of Arafah. This is called what, ya Hashim? Ta'rif. Abdullah ibn Abbas engaged in it. He was the first, we know, from the Sahaba to engage in it. In Basra, in Iraq. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, Muhammad ibn Sirin, and others. So make some arrangements now that this is going to be when I'm going to go on flight mode. And I'm going to dedicate myself in the masjid for a few hours to beg Allah Almighty, to cry to Allah, to pray. Even nap if you are tired, but be in the masjid, to recite Quran, to help people, to teach. And that is why the predecessors, they would say, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَخْلُوَ بِنَفْسِكَ عَشِيَّةَ عَرَفَ فَفَعَلْ. That if you are able to be alone during the latter hours of Arafah, then do it. And Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, the Imam of Ahl al-Sham, he said, أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانُوا يُخَبِّئُونَ الْحَاجَاتِ لِيَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ يَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ بِهَا. I met people, he said, who used to save up their requests, their du'as, the real pressing needs of their life for the day of Arafah to ask them from Allah Almighty. So all throughout the year, they're gathering it, say on a piece of paper or on a list. This is what I'm going to ask for on the day of Arafah. And another one of the predecessors, he says, وَاللَّهِ مَا دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةَ دُعَاءً إِلَّا وَمَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْعَامُ أَوْ لَمْ يَمْضُ عَلَيْهَا الْعَامُ وَرَأَيْتُهَا مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. He said, any dua that I made in any Arafah of my life, less than a year would pass by and Allah Almighty would answer my dua and I would see it like the break of dawn. SubhanAllah. So dedicate some time and remember your family, remember your teachers, remember those who you love, remember your future in this dunya, remember your future in the grave and beyond on that day of Arafah. And really try to free up some time on that immense day. What are the priorities of a Muslim on the days of Dhul Hijjah? What are some key acts of ibadah?
Fasting.
How many days of these days?
As many as we can, until day of Arafah.
Up until and including?
Including
the day of Arafah. Very good. Yeah, so fasting. Yeah, excellent. To fast these days. Does that apply to the pilgrim and or the non-pilgrim?
For
the non-pilgrims. For the pilgrims, what do they do? What's recommended for them?
Hajj.
Hajj, yeah, of course. But in terms of Siyam, which of the days? Any thoughts? Yeah, so for the pilgrim, generally, it's recommended for them to fast the first 8 days of Dhul Hijjah. Yeah, if they can, to fast the first 8 days of Dhul Hijjah. Why? Because on the day of Arafah, it is recommended for them to conserve their energy to ensure focus and clarity when making dua. And that's why when people thought that the Prophet ﷺ was fasting on the day of Arafah, a woman, she brought him a cup of milk and he drank it in a public space to show everyone that he was not fasting. Right? That is generally a ruling here. But as for the non-pilgrim like ourselves, we would fast the first 9 days. Why not the 10th, Uzair?
That's the last day for being a Hajj.
That last 10th day is Eid. Is Eid?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Eid is not a day of abstinence. Eid is a day of celebration and eating and drinking. Right? Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good. Of course, with special emphasis on the fasting of the day of Arafah. So if you are unable to fast any of these days for whatever reason, or you find fasting very difficult, we would encourage us to push ourselves really. But in a worst case scenario, the day of Arafah, the hadith which Muslim narrates, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about fasting the day of Arafah, and he said, "Yukaffiru sanata al-madiyah wal-baqiyah." It erases two sins, 2 years worth of sins. Imagine. The previous year and all of the remainder of the current year. So 2 years worth of sins erased because of 1 day's worth of fasting. La ilaha illallah. So fasting, very good. And of course, you will see this from the hadith of Umm Salama, who said that the Prophet ﷺ would fast the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, meaning the first nine. So when they say 10 days, they are excluding the 10th. And of course, you have the hadith of Aisha, which seems to contradict this, where she said that I never saw the Prophet ﷺ fasting the days of the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. And the scholars have reconciled between these narrations by saying that Aisha never saw the Prophet ﷺ fasting these days, i.e. when he was doing his Hajj. Yeah, i.e. when he was doing his Hajj. But as for when he was outside of Hajj, because he only did Hajj once in his life, hadith of Salama and others from the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they said he did fast these days. Another key sha'ira, another key act of ibadah that's emphasized in this Eid and the Eid before it as well. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, the dhikr of Allah Almighty. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith that there are no days where doing good deeds are more beloved to Allah Almighty and greater in reward than these 10 days. But here is the addition. Listen to the addition. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ. So say frequently, تَهْلِيل, لا إله إلا الله, and تَحْمِيد, الحمد لله, and تَكْبِير, Allahu Akbar. There's no mention of tasbih in the narration. تَهْلِيل and تَحْمِيد and تَكْبِير. To remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly during these days. With specific emphasis on takbir, to declare the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which features in this Eid and features in the Eid before it as well. You will find that one of the markers that differentiate Eid from the other seasons of the year is that takbir features a lot in it, because takbir is a bold declaration of Islam. Allah wants you to wear your Islam during these seasons, to show the world that you are honored with your religion. And what greater statement can be used to express this sentiment than to say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above it all. This needs to reverberate in our homes, reverberate in our cars, needs to echo in our markets, online, offline. When you're having dinner, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And feel the essence of what you are saying, right? Allah is greater than my debts. Allah is greater than my sins that I thought He would never forgive. Allah is greater than those stubborn habits that I need to overcome once and for all. Allah is greater than my feud with my wife, my husband. Allah is greater than my son or my daughter who may have gone astray and has caused my hair to go gray. Allah is greater than all of my illnesses. Allah is greater than the enemies of Islam. Allah is greater, Akbar, greater than their aircraft carriers and their media machines and their propaganda. Allah is greater against all of the allies of dhulm and oppression. He is above it all. See how suitable it is to mention the statement of Allahu Akbar, especially today in light of Gaza's ordeal. Allahu Akbar. So whenever we feel that the odds are stacked against us, this is a moment, Eid, of celebration. Our understanding of celebration is honor, is dignity, and to remember that Allah is on the side of the believer, even if you may stand alone at this moment in time, and you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. This was the life of Ibrahim. We are commemorating Ibrahim's life in Eid al-Adha. And is it not that Ibrahim experienced a time in his life when he walked alone on the earth? Is it not that Ibrahim walked the earth at one point, migrating from place to place as being the only believer on the planet? Is it not that Ibrahim was threatened with respect to his son, with respect to his wife? Is it not that Ibrahim alayhi salam was opposed by members of his own blood, members of his own family? I mean, look at that as betrayal and abandonment. But Allah is Akbar. And so now, what happened? The whole world is singing in the praise of Ibrahim. The whole world is fighting and clamoring to be connected to the heritage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We are to remember this. And there are several siyagh or forms of the statement of Allahu Akbar. You can say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Or you may have three takbirs in the beginning. Yeah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And the scholars, they mention that if you're going to say them one after the other, the takbirs, then you say three. If you disconnect them, you mention two. So if you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, mention it twice because you've separated between them. If you choose to connect them, then you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, three. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And there isn't any one particular rigid form of takbir that we need to stick to. I mean, the ones that I just shared with you are commonly agreed upon. This is what the Salaf, they used to use. But Imam al-Shafi'i, for example, in his Al-Umm, and also Az-Zad, he says that there is the form that you can say, which is good, which is Allahu Akbaru kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan, wa asila, la ilaha illallah, wa la na'budu illa iya, mukhlisina lahuddin, wa law kariha al-kafirun, la ilaha illallah wahdah, sadaqa wa'dahu, wa nasara abdahu, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu, la ilaha illallah. He says, if you say this, then this is also good. But there isn't a rigid particular wording that you have to stick to. But if you stick to the ones that I shared with you earlier, there is also khair in this, insha'Allah ta'ala. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So puncture your gatherings with takbir. Even gatherings like this. Ja'far ibn Sulaiman, one of the predecessors, he says that I saw Thabit al-Bunani, one of the predecessors, who would be sat in a gathering of dhikr, gathering of knowledge or teaching. And every now and then he would stop. This is in the 10 days of the Hijjah. He would stop and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And then he would continue teaching. And then he would do that again. And then he would say, these are days of dhikr, wa hakadha kanu yasna'un. And that's how their predecessors used to behave. And the narrator, Ja'far ibn Sulaiman, he said, I also saw Malik ibn Dinar doing the same. In a gathering like this, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So if you're there watching the news or you're having dinner or whatever it may be, show your family the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, and encourage them to do that. Nafi', the servant of Ibn Umar, he said that Ibn Umar would walk through the streets and marketplaces raising his voice with Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Many of the Sahaba would do this. And Ata' ibn Abi Rabah, he would do the same thing. When he was on his bed, and when he was walking in the streets, and when he was in the market, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So fill your gatherings with the takbir of Allah and understand its meaning. Tayyib. So we've mentioned what are the priorities of the believer in the days of Dhul Hijjah. We said fasting, and we said remembrance of Allah. What else?
Avoiding sins.
Avoiding sins, no doubt.
More heavier than the other.
Yes. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ, Allah says. Do not wrong yourselves during these four righteous months, these four sacred months. So just as the hasanat are multiplied, the sins, they are also heavier during this period. And you brothers, a quick message here. We mentioned in the beginning, and it came across as theory, that this is when the religion of Allah was complete. What's the message that Allah is sending to us? If on the days of Dhul Hijjah is when the religion of Allah became complete, then make your religion complete during them. This is the time now to transform. This is the time now to overcome those annoying sins that have been holding us, some of us back for all these years. This is the time to make that pledge with Allah. I'm going to change. Some narrations suggest these were the days when Ibrahim held the knife to the throat of his son Ismail, and he passed that test. So we are to do the same and to slaughter these crimes between us and Allah once and for all. Good, Abu Amr, Jazakallah khair. Another key point I will mention here is to honor what Allah Almighty has honored. This is an overlooked aspect. What makes these days so special in the eyes of a Muslim is not just there is something in it for me in terms of hasanat, right? Yes, that's part of it, no doubt. But the one whom you love the most, Allah has honored these days. Allah has declared them as hurum, sacred. So honor what Allah Almighty has honored. And hold in high regard what Allah Almighty holds in high regard. And that will transform the hasanat that you're already doing anyway. Right? So you're already praying. You're already doing your Qiyamul Layl. Some of you will be fasting today. You will be reciting Quran, and you'll be giving charity. You'll be doing together good to others, and you'll be teaching khair. You're doing that both ways. Add to it a deeper layer, another intention, which is, I am doing this because inside of me, in my heart, look, this is Amal Qalbi, an internal action. In my heart, I see this period as immense, as great, as honorable, because my Lord sees it like that. That one shift in mindset is enough to shift the quality of the hasanat that you're doing both ways. Get the most highest return on your investment. To honor what Allah has honored. You feel that this period is great because my Lord sees it that way. Right? And that is why Allah says in the Quran, ذلك, that is so. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever honors the symbols of Allah, then that is from the piety of hearts. Although this ayah is in specific reference to al-hadi, the sacrificial animal that you give in Hajj, but it applies to all of the things that Allah Almighty has declared sacred. He who honors the symbols of Allah Almighty, magnifies them, then that is a sign, that is from the piety of hearts. Right? Anything else that we haven't mentioned so far? Honoring these days, what else is there to mention? Increasing in sadaqah. So what we can say, Hashim, anything that may draw you nearer to Allah. Because what did the hadith say that we covered earlier? مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. There are no days in which the good deeds are beloved to Allah, more beloved to Allah. The good deeds, meaning what? All good deeds. So don't limit it to the traditional ones or the conventional ones that come to our mind, like sadaqah and salah and Quran and salatul rahim, no doubt. But what else could we include under this heading of good deeds that we may not, that's a little bit counterintuitive? Give us some creative ideas.
Being at the service of people.
Being at the service of people. Very good. What else?
Specifically because of Hijjah, the one who intends Qurbani, not cutting the hair, putting the
neck. Very good. Yeah, yeah. Abiding by the rules of the one who wants to give the Qurbani. Very good. What else constitutes as a good deed that will bring you closer to Allah, that will make Allah love you, that will make your hasanat greater? What else?
Honoring your parents.
Allahu Akbar. It's a huge hasana. What else? Giving sadaqah. What else?
Placing happiness in the heart of your fellow believer.
Yeah, salam. Bringing happiness in the heart of another believer. Sah. Very good. And so on and so forth. So think creatively. And that's why the companions of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, one of the tabi'een, they said, speaking about his ethic during the 10 days of the Hijjah, they said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشَرَ, when the 10 days would come, يَجْتَهِدُ اجْتِهَادًا لَا يَكَادُ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ, he would exert himself to such a level that it would almost be above his own ability. Yeah. It would almost cause him to crumble. That's how much he would push himself during these days. And he would also say, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ, when the 10 days come into your life, فَلَا تَطْفِئُوا سُرُوجَكُمْ, do not extinguish your lanterns. Don't extinguish your lanterns. Meaning stay up all night. Right? This is a high standard, no doubt, but I want to push that bar to this extreme so that we see what we are working with and the potential is vast. Tayyib, let us wrap up, let us conclude inshallah. I'm going to just share with you some quick rulings pertaining to these days that are important for us to know. First of all, about the udhiyah, the sacrifice that many of you would have intended inshallah to give on the day of Eid inshallah. And we know the famous hadith of Ummu Salama in the Sahih, where the Prophet ﷺ said that if any of you see the hilal of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning the first 10 days comes in, وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يُضَحِي, and you have the intention to give Eid Udhiyah, then do not take anything from your hair or your nails. And in another narration, and nothing from your skin in terms of excess skin. Do not take any of that. طيب. So this is a ruling that is commonly known. And one of the wisdoms behind it is you are to imitate the pilgrim who will be doing the same, to be in this rough and disheveled state, and to humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the ruling of the udhiyah, or the topic of the udhiyah, is mentioned in the Quran. I don't know if you are familiar with the ayah. Where is it? An ayah that you've all memorized. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, pray to your Lord and sacrifice. The scholars, they say this means pray to your Lord, meaning the Eid Salah. وَانْحَرْ, and give your qurbani. Right? But it's important to note that this ruling on not taking from the hair, or not taking from the nails, and not taking from the skin, it's not that strict. So it's not connected to the validity of your qurbani. If you end up doing this, don't crumble or panic, and don't make it the focus of this period, such that you obsess over it and you forget the essence of dhikr and salah, the glorification of Allah. And unfortunately, I think some of the scholars and our mashayikh, how they present these topics, it creates an imbalance of priorities in our lives. The emphasis is made on these fiqh matters such that we have this image that if I fall short in it, then my whole hajj or my qurbani is compromised. It's not that strict, insha'Allah ta'ala. There is flexibility here. There's a classical discussion, Aslan, I don't want to bring it up, but it's not that strict. And again, this goes back to the messaging, how we teach. I mean, our Sheikh Haytham, he always brings the example of somebody he saw on one of the Islam Q&A episodes, where the Sheikh was asked two questions. The first was about the ruling of, what is it called, vinegar? White wine vinegar or cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar. What is their ruling? And he gave like a 20-minute answer about it, right? And then somebody asked him the question about a question of inheritance, where a young boy's inheritance was taken from him. And he gave like a 2-minute response. So the fiqhi question about apple cider vinegar, we were there for about 20 minutes talking about it. And a question about dhulm and the establishing of justice, which is one of the main overarching aims of Islam, You skim over it in a few seconds. What message are you sending to the world? What message are you sending to the Muslims? That these fiqh matters is everything you need to be worried about. And these axioms of the religion, we don't need to prioritize them. This is what's happened, I think, to some extent when it comes to some of the fiqh discussions surrounding Hajj as well. Tayyib, so that's one ruling. Another ruling we can focus on is the aspect of takbir. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, there are two times. We've spoken about the format earlier, but there's two types of takbir. There is the takbir al-mutlaq, the unrestricted takbir, and takbir al-muqayyad, the restricted takbir. Have you heard of this differentiation before? No? So the first category is the unrestricted takbir, takbir al-mutlaq. This is when you do takbir at any time of the day, any circumstance. When you're walking, when you're sat down, when you're lying on your bed, before, during and after eating, before salah, after salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. That's the unrestricted takbir. And that begins when? That begins on the first day of Dhul Hijjah. When the sun sets of the last day of Dhul Qa'dah, the unrestricted takbir begins, right? All the way until the 13th day of Dhul Hijjah, when the sun sets on that day, the last days of Tashriq, that period there for these 13 days, you have what is called what? A takbir al-mutlaq, the unrestricted takbir. And then you have something called a takbir al-muqayyad, the restricted takbir. And that's a takbir that happens when, brothers?
No.
The restricted takbir. What? Not the timing, sorry. I mean to say, what happens here? It's a takbir that you do after salah. Yeah? It's the takbir that you do after the salah. It doesn't matter if you do it after the dhikr or before the dhikr. Let's not get worried about that. But that is called the restricted takbir, a takbir that you do after each salah of the day. That period begins for the non-pilgrim like us. That begins on the day of Arafah at Fajr time or Dhuhr time, to cater for the difference of opinion here between the scholars. It starts at Fajr time from that Salah or the Dhuhr Salah. And for the pilgrim, it begins after the Dhuhr Salah of Yawm al-Nahr, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. And in both circumstances, it ends after Salatul Asr on the 13th day. This is an academic discussion that we've just had now. Well, what is intended behind it is for you now to grab onto it and to do something with it, for it to transform your life. And I want you to imagine a situation where a teacher, who says to his or her students that there is this exam that you have tomorrow. It's optional. If you do it, all of your grades from the previous years will be upgraded. An intelligent student will take the exam. Not because it's obligatory, but because it is a glaring opportunity. Here we have Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this is an optional period for us. It's not an obligation. But take from it as much as you wish. If you do that, then you have the opportunity to surpass people who may have been better than you all throughout the year. If you excel and you show Allah Almighty a commitment and a renewal of the pledge during these 10 days. So inshallah, I trust that this will be a decision or a choice that we will make inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/medicare.